Good morning, everyone. Now, we are here this morning, of course, to review the estimates of the Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment. We have 3 hours allotted for this. I now ask the committee if they would introduce themselves, please.
Kevin Parsons, MHA, from the beautiful district of Cape St. Francis.
Lori Bonier, researcher, Official Opposition Office.
Barry Patton, MHA for CBS.
Paul Lane, MHA, Mount Pearl Southlands.
Jerry Rogers, I work for the Good People of St. John's Center.
Ivan Morgan, researcher, NDP caucus.
Neil King, MHA Bonavista, I'm substituting for Jerry Dean.
MHA, Betty Parsley, Harbor Maine.
Brian Ward, Bayver, Green Bay.
Okay. That's right, we have two substitutes this morning, Mr. King for Mr. Dean and Mr. Patton for Mr. Brazel. Okay, I now ask the minister to have some opening remarks and as well to introduce his officials.
Eddie Joyce, minister.
Jamie Chippett, deputy minister, municipal affairs, environment.
Heather Tizard, assistant deputy minister, municipal infrastructure and support.
Tara Kelly, ADM, fire and emergency and corporate services.
Gerald Crane, director, climate change branch.
Aaron Shea, director of communications.
Robin Hayes, Departmental Controller.
Colin Holloway, MHA for District of Terra Nova and Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister.
Okay, so the responder, of course, will have 15 minutes and then we'll go in 10-minute intervals, the official opposition and then the third party and as well as the independent member. Okay.
First of all, I apologize for meeting a bit late. There was a meeting that just ran over, so I apologize to everybody. I'll cut it short in my words. What we're going to do today is go through the estimates and go through the financial part of the department. We'll limit it to any policy discussions. We'll go through the budget estimates. The only opening remark that I'll make is I just want to thank all the staff, municipal affairs and environment and climate change all through for all your work that you do all through at Newfoundland and Labrador. The relationship that we have with MNL, working with the Fire Association, and I know with the opposition also that we work very well when it comes to dealing with the towns. So I'll stop my marks there because I was a bit late, and we'll make up the time that way.
Thank you, Minister. So instead of calling every single head, we'll just run on through. I ask the clerk to call them, okay?
1.1.01.
Shall 1.1.01 carry?
Okay. I'd just like to ask the officials if when you are speaking, because sometimes the other night it was a little bit hard to hear, if you can talk into the microphone, because sometimes it's really, really, you know, to get your answers and stuff like that, because I don't want to have to ask you twice or anything like that, okay? I just got some general questions first to ask, and Minister, I'm hoping that I could get a copy of your binder after we're finished, if that's okay.
Well, you can make the request as usual, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes when you're nice, people then just take advantage of it and make comments that aren't true. So the best thing to do is just go ahead and make the request. We had to follow procedures on
okay.
this show.
Okay, yep. So a request is made for if you can. And I'm just wondering if there's any, because the other night we found a few mistakes that were in the estimates binder. There was a couple of things that weren't there, were supposed to be there. So the full amount of estimates will be there when we get it, will it? Because I know in fisheries there was a couple of documents that we needed afterwards that weren't there. So I just want to make sure that everything is okay. Okay. Any idea how many people are employed in the department?
Jamie Chippett, Deputy Minister. 233 is the number of positions.
Okay.
And I think 197 are filled at this point in time.
197. Okay. Were there any retirements in the department?
In 17-18, there were 11 retirements.
Okay. And you say there now, okay, so there's a good few vacancies. Are any of these positions being eliminated? Or
no immediate plans to eliminate. Okay. There's a number of different reasons for the vacancies. I'll give you a couple of examples that really influence that number. We have a number of positions, for example, in emergency services to assist with disaster financial allocations. And so we had largely reduced filling those when the Thanksgiving rainstorm event processing was almost done. But then in May, of course, we had the Mud Lake event, and then in January we had the event on the West Coast. So, for example, there's a block of five or six positions there that are being filled, will be filled this year to deal with the processing for the West Coast. I think there's 10 or 12 of those that are actually under active recruitment.
Okay.
So we'll look at every vacancy. So, for example, we have seven positions where we're not filling the position to fund other priorities in the department, plan savings. You freeze the position and you use the savings for funding other priorities. So vast majority are either under recruitment, but we'll look at every vacancy, obviously, with an eye to the attrition plans that that we're a part of.
Okay. And so have there been any layoffs or terminations in the department?
No layoffs. We've had temporary assignments that have ended, I think two, just based on pieces of work being completed, but no layoffs.
Okay. How about new hires? Many new hires in the department?
Do you mean new positions?
New positions, yeah.
So the two new positions that we funded in internally this time around is the director who's doing the review of municipal legislation, and secondly, we created a advisor position on methylmercury to work through the independent expert advisory committee.
Okay. And the attrition plan for the department. How many positions have, are you following the attrition plan? And how many positions have been, been either gone or?
Right. So, we've the previous attrition plan.
Yeah.
I think we've got one left on that plan to complete the plan. I'm going to ask Robin Hayes if she knows what the total number of positions under that plan was.
Robin Hayes, Departmental Controller. The original attrition management plan, I believe it was 14 for municipal affairs, but where we combined with fire and emergency services and environment, the number is a bit larger. Jamie is correct. We do have one position left to complete our 2015-16 plan.
Okay. How many contractual employees have you had in the past year?
I think there's there may be two or three.
Okay, those are just the general questions I want to know about the employment in the. Now I'll go to the minister's office 1101, and I don't have a lot here, but if you could just give me what the positions that are included in the salaries under the minister's office, and there is have any of these been moved, or what is the variance here?
Jamie Chippett, deputy minister. There's lower travel allowance costs for the minister. That was that's why there was a decrease in the revised amount. Otherwise, it's the minister, the EA, and the minister secretary.
Okay. All right. That's all I have on that section. I'll go to the general administration, section 1201. And again, there is in the salary line, there's a huge variance there of over $500,000. And again, I'll just add, if you want to explain that.
Jamie Chippett, so the between the budget in 17-18 and the revised number in 2017-18 primarily reflected changes or payouts to other people who left. Or people that were impacted through the management restructuring.
How many positions are included in the amounts, do you know?
In the
salary amounts, sir.
Trying to count them through in my head.
Okay.
there's annual leave or severance or salary continuance payments for 10 in the extra amount in the revised. Robin, do you know that number?
So for 2018-19, there are 13 positions in executive support.
13 positions, okay, thank you. Okay, I just want to go to the line transportation communications. And there's a variance there also. Reduction of the revised was 15,000. Is there, what's the reason for that?
So that was basically, less travel by the executive.
Yep.
The other influence on 45,100 in transportation and communications and the salary line actually in 18-19 is climate change joined the department in August of 2017. So there's a restatement of the climate change executive salaries as well as some of their travel to transportation and communications.
Okay. I want to go to the line revenue, the provincial revenue. Can you explain, give me what's included here?
Sure. So that's revenue for the position of CEO at the MMSB. And the previous incumbent in that position left the organization partway through the last fiscal year. So that's why the revenue is 117 rather than 169.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, next one is section 1202, administrative support. Again, some areas now, I should have mentioned this in the first, and you can explain. We went back and we looked at the estimates of last year's budget and the line that was approved in last year's budget, and I know there's explanations why they changed, but the actual budget amount this year is different than what we actually voted on last year. So there's a couple of questions here that I got to, I just want to ask on that also. So let's go to the salary line first. And just give me a breakdown of what's there and why there's such a big difference there.
Jamie Chippett. So this is where we do the majority of our funding for our co-op students and our students. And there is one reception position in their front desk position as well, and so we've maintained the budget for summer students in here, but the co-op students are now going to be charged off to the various divisions in which they work because it is more like a regular position than a summer student position. So you'll see the co-op students being funded out of the individual divisions. So water resources, municipal infrastructure, these types of divisions frequently use multiple co-op students during the appropriate terms.
Okay. And just there on the transportation communication line, perhaps you can just explain what the variance is there. That's good.
So the reduction there is actually when Environment joined Municipal Affairs and it became Municipal Affairs and Environment. Some of the communications funding for telephone lines and so on in Municipal Affairs, they're all booked in the individual divisions. In Environment, they were in one place in admin support. So we actually moved those expenses out into the individual divisions as well.
Okay. I'm going to go to purchase services, and this is one of the lines that I mentioned that last year, what was actually budgeted and what's in the budget this year is shown is a good bit of difference, actually, and maybe you can explain that.
Sure. So I think Transportation Works had their estimates already,
yeah.
But there's a restatement in several of our budget lines pertaining to the movement of all lease payments to the Department of Transportation Works and all expenses associated with the fleet in terms of both fuel and maintenance. So in several line items where we would have leases or vehicles, those statements would be restated. So the big difference here is actually one of our leases for fire and emergency services on Halleck Crescent.
Okay. And if you go to the line operating accounts, that's a similar thing. Last year there was a huge budget there, and it's dropped a lot this year. Is that the same as the reason for that, too?
Yes, that would be the same reason.
Okay. All right. We'll go to the next section, section 1203. And again, there's a decrease. Steady decrease, actually, in revised and amount this year. And can you explain it? And what positions are included in this, in these amounts?
Jamie Chippett, was that the salary line that you were?
Yes, salary line.
Okay, sorry. So there was, we talked about plan savings earlier.
Yep.
So we did shift some funding around to maintain a position within that division. And then the other piece was severance, annual leave, continuance payments for three persons that were formerly in that division, but that were part of the management restructuring in February of 2017.
Okay. All right. Okay, we'll move on to the next section. Okay. So... in this section, I've got a couple of general questions I'd like to ask also on reallocation, relocation of different. Are there many people in looking for reallocation that are, you know, for how many communities?
There's two communities. Northern Boat Harbor is one. And the second one? And La Poyle. And Bay of Islands, not Bay of Islands, Little Bay Islands is in the middle of the process.
Yeah, I don't mind a crowd from Bay of Islands trying to get out of it with a member like they get to.
And Snook's Arm, I think, has completed the location that occurred through last year. So.
Is there money allocated for any of this, and where is it?
We've never allocated... funding for relocations that may occur, because there's a lot of uncertainty in those processes, and there are multiple places where the process can stretch out. So as an example, if you have we make residency determinations in the department on who would be permanent residents, there's a two-step process if people aren't satisfied with that determination. So if they're not satisfied, first step is an appeal to the minister. That's handled through an independent commissioner. If there's a second appeal, it's obviously to the courts. So given it's very difficult to pin down exactly when we would be at the point of paying out funds, we don't budget. It's often done through the contingency fund in finance or found from savings within the department.
Is there any money budgeted for boundary changes or any amalgamation tests or, you know, requests that are in place?
Jamie Chippett, the grants and subsidies line is basically for feasibility studies for any number of things. It could be around amalgamation. It could be around boundary changes and so on. And so that's the 88.5 in
18-19. Okay. All right. I'll ask some questions when I... Okay. Yeah. I'll go back to them, too.
Ms. Rogers? Thank you very much, and thank you very much for your time this morning and for your excellent work. Just to pick up where my colleague left off, the amount to be voted in revenue provincial, we see a significant change there in the revised, and what would that revenue stream be from?
So we're in 2101 still, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be primarily revenue from appeal board processes where we would look to charge back the cost. So as an example, if somebody wants a rezoning in a protected road zone and they request it, otherwise we wouldn't be doing the amendment, then we would charge back the cost for that hearing. So the $6,000 basically reflects the fact that we didn't have a lot of those requests in 17-18.
Okay. And so that would come from, excuse me, from individuals and or municipalities?
That's correct. But I think it would normally be individuals because okay. You're outside of municipal boundaries.
Yes. Okay, great. Thank you. And if we move on to policy and strategic planning, the salaries, 2.2.01. Mm-hmm. And we see a difference of $155,000 in
18-19. It's Jamie Chippett. And so right there, we've got a couple of things that are happening. Number one is in terms of the new attrition plans that we've been asked to undertake, the reductions have been taken from one line item, and then the department is to work with the Human Resource Secretariat on exactly where in the department that would we'd find those savings. So there's no reduction in position per se there. And then this is one of the places where we have a position that we've held vacant to fund other priorities in the department.
So that position is now gone? Or?
No, position is still there.
But not filled.
The incumbent in it moved up in the same division as a manager, and we've chose not to fill that particular position at this point in time. But he holds the rights to the position, so it's still there. And if he goes back to it, obviously we will fund it at that point in time.
And what kind of position is that?
That's a policy analyst position.
So how many policy analysts are now in that department?
I think it's four.
Okay. And that's
and there's
four.
Two managers of policy as well.
Okay. So that's the four policy positions for all of municipal affairs and environment, is it?
I think that's right. Robin?
Four filled, one vacant. That one's vacant.
Great. Okay, thank you. And two managers. Thank you. Grants and subsidies. How is this? Who gets this money? What is it specifically for? What kinds of grants and subsidies?
Jamie Chippett. So these are they're more or less fixed expenditures every year.
Okay.
The major recipient there is the Conservation Corps. So there's $147,000 of the $169,100 that is an annual grant to the Conservation Corps. It's been the same for some time. The other thing we do in that line item is we pay for our participation in certain intergovernmental organizations. So there's the New England Governors, Eastern Canadian Premiers. So we pay an amount based on our population, if you will, to that. And there's also a FPT committee on local governance that does research in terms of urban and rural issues. So we also pay an amount to that.
Okay, thank you. I have nothing for fire and emergency services. Then, except if we go over to page
17.8,
2.3.02.
2.3.02?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Revenue, provincial revenue. Can you tell me what, there was a significant drop there and nothing budgeted for 18-19? Can you just explain that?
Sure. So as a part, again, speaking of intergovernmental organizations we're a part of, during 16-17 and a part of 17-18, we were the provincial territorial co-chair of the emergency management table, and there was funding that came along with that for a position. So as we transitioned, and Alberta is now the provincial territorial co-chair, that funding would be allocated to them. So that's why there's nothing allocated in 18-19.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we had a position at the table a funded position, and now that has moved on. The funding for that position has
moved on?
Yeah,
so it was more a support position.
Okay.
You know, in terms of being the co-chair, we would be, you know, responsible for bringing material together from various jurisdictions, agendas, and so on and so forth. So that person assisted with those tasks. But we would always have an official present at that table to discuss Newfoundland Labrador's position as well.
Right. Okay, I understand that. Thank you. 2.3.03. So we see an increase in salaries there. Under disaster assistance?
Yes.
Under salaries, we see an increase of $160,000?
Mm-hmm. So basically, in this entire heading, you've got an interaction between the Thanksgiving rain event, the Mud Lake flooding, and the West Coast flood that occurred in January of 2017. So initially, you can see if you go left or right to left, mm-hmm, in that line, we had a number of positions to deal with the Thanksgiving rain event, Mud Lake flooding. We really thought we were going to start to wind down. But obviously, with the Thanksgiving rain event occurring and the number of claims we would have from there, we will be staffing up again to process those claims. So that's why you see the 391.
And how are those claims going? Where are we at with those?
So, just to give you a snapshot of the three, mm-hmm, different events, there were 43 private sector claims for Mud Lake. We're up to, I think, 32 of those that are closed out, or very close to being closed out. There's one municipal infrastructure claim ongoing, which we expect to be concluded this construction season. For the Thanksgiving rain event, there were 244 private sector claims. 243 are closed. One is still ongoing because there's work that needs to happen in the spring. There were 25 municipal claims, and 13 are completed. One is done and awaiting inspection to sign off on it being completed, and 11 are still in municipal infrastructure mode, so there'll be more work done in this construction season. And last, the West Coast one, the most recent one, there's 113 private sector claims. There are 19 closed, 2 canceled, 28 were deemed ineligible under the guidelines, and the remaining are in various stages of work, could be with the adjuster. We could be waiting for more documentation from the claimants. There have been 13 municipal claims received, but we would expect the majority of that work to start in this upcoming construction season.
Thank you. Purchase services, we see there was $3 million budgeted in 17-18, $58,000 spent, and nothing budgeted in 18-19. Can you explain that?
Sure. So there was a reprofiling of funding there. In terms of where we pay things out for claims, it's probably useful to just give you the rundown on the different line items. So for allowances and assistance, you see there, that's payments to individuals. So if an individual decides to settle their claim and take a cash settlement, that goes out through allowances and assistance. Purchase services, the one you asked about, mm-hmm, there would be a couple of expenses normally in there. We would pay contractors who would be doing work. Sometimes individuals would say, we'll have you pay the contractor directly. They're going to do the work on our property. So to your question specifically, we had anticipated more people doing that in 2017-18, but most people took cash settlements, so we actually reprofiled that funding to allowances and assistance. So you'll see that increase in 17-18. Just to continue with the lines, because they all change for basically the same reason. Grants and subsidies are how we pay out municipal claims, and professional services are the adjusters who go in and assess the damage to the property.
Great. Thank you very much.
I just got a couple of more questions here on that section. Okay. From a municipal training program, has there been any much money budgeted for that?
Municipal training program?
Yeah.
I know we do pay some money out in a later line item, special assistance.
Okay,
special assistance. To PMA, for example, and M&L in terms of training or events that they run. Tara, do you know where we might pay out municipal training?
Okay.
So actually some of the municipal training is run out of Heather's division on municipal infrastructure and support, and it's paid out through municipal finance.
Okay. Can you provide an update on the Urban Rural Planning Act review?
Jamie Chippett,
That's kind of
not a budget.
We can answer it, but we're trying to stick to the budget items itself.
Okay.
We're trying to stick to the budget items. This is more of
a dash in the house.
Yeah.
I'd like to, in this section also, if you could, the appeals board, the regional appeals board. Can you give an update what's happening with the regional appeals board, and is there any backlog on appeals?
Jamie Chippett, we're doing okay from an appeals perspective. The biggest issue with appeals is in Eastern. There's 38. That's not an uncommon number. Board is fully functioning, but there are just a lot more appeals in the eastern region because you've got majority of the larger towns that would have a lot of appeals associated with them.
Yeah.
So there's 38 for that appeal board.
And they're meeting regularly, are they?
They are, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for that section. And, we did the 2102. Okay. Under fire and emergency services, can you give me an update on the 911? I know you were doing some work on 911 and, civic addressing and stuff like that. Is there an update on that now?
Again, we're going to stick to line items. That's more of a policy question.
Okay. Okay, we'll go to regional and financial support, section 3. Okay, can you give us the variance on the salaries here, and section 1, salaries?
Jamie Chippett.
Okay, it's section 3101, okay?
The increase in the revised line for 17-18 was salary contingency payouts for two individuals. Again, part of the management restructuring that occurred in 2017. And then the slight increase in 18-19 is basically salary step increases.
Just looking here under purchase services there. And again, I assume that's just vehicles and stuff like that, the difference from last year. But can you explain the variance that's here in this line, what to revise?
Jamie Chippett. Yes, that's leases, actually. think it's primarily a lease we have in the old Gander Mall. So our municipal support office is in that space.
Okay. Under revenue, what's included here?
So this is a memorandum of agreement we have with Nunatsiavut government. So we provide support for infrastructure planning and engineering for Nunatsiavut government's capital projects. Mm. And the variance you see is a late payment from them from the previous fiscal year. So that's why in the revised line you see double the amount. So we would be back to providing an invoice for $160 for that service for this fiscal year.
Okay. Okay, next section 3102. And again, I want to go to the salary line. And there's a jump into revised, and maybe you can just explain the variance here. And what positions are included in that?
So in municipal finance, to your first question, the increase is around salary contingent for continuance for one person. Hmm. And then secondly, it's for severance and a leave payout for a senior position in that department, a person left. So that's why there was the increase. In terms of the positions here, so this would be basically be the administrative and oversight functions for a number of funding programs that municipal affairs operates. So municipal operating grants, SEEP, debt servicing payments on behalf of municipalities would all be run through this particular group of staff.
Okay. Can I get a list of who received grants in, say, in the special assistance, infrastructure grants, and small community grants? Would I be able to get a list of that for last year?
Yeah.
Okay. And sure. Could I have it? Because I'd like to get it as soon as possible, too, if you can give it to me. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. All right. Moving on to... section, once I get it opened, section 3201, and it's waste management. And I have a general question. Can you give us an update? I know there's a lot of talk about cabin owners and stuff like that in the news and stuff like that. So can you give me an update on the situation with the cabin owners and garbage fees?
So, I mean, you know, consistently the position has been that... you know, under the Regional Service Boards Act, the boards are responsible for how they charge the fees. There's a variance in fees across the province in terms of how different boards deal with them. But it's certainly clearly, if you look at the Act and the regulations associated with the Regional Service Board Act, it's clearly the responsibility of the board.
Okay. And is the citizen representative, that's who was dealing with this, right? Dealing with a lot of the, you know, someone called me, say, for example, that's who I'd put them on to. So that's who's still, that's still doing the complaints, right?
Yeah, the minister last year actually added the Regional Services Board to the Office of Citizens Representative Act, the annex, in terms of who's affected by it.
Yeah.
And okay. So that's why it's now under his jurisdiction.
I know that there's a lot of requirements coming with the department, and some of the deadlines are 2020 when it comes to municipalities and wastewater management. And I know there's been a fine lot of money go out now and everything else to that. So where are we to with the municipalities and that?
Hey, Joyce, that's more of a policy question. So if you... okay. We can go through the budget items as estimates.
Okay. All right, let's go to the salary line.
Jamie Chippett, so we spoke earlier about a couple of temporary positions that work concluded on. We announced last year that we were eliminating the limit of service policy for municipalities, which was a lean initiative in the department, and as a result, we no longer needed a computer programmer to oversee the limit of service policy. So that's why we've got the $65,000 decrease when it comes to line the salary line.
I want to go to grants and subsidies. Again, can you let me know what's included here?
Jamie Chippett. So what's included here is this is the third year of the pilot with regional service boards to fund regional operators for water and wastewater systems. So there's a number of communities in Eastern, Central, and Western where we basically funded the regional service board for a position and a vehicle and operating funds to work with those communities on improving the operations of their wastewater and water systems.
Ms. Rogers?
02. Can you tell me what, the variance and what it is?
Sure. So this is industrial water services. There used to be a lot of these in the provinces that the province was responsible for, associated with fish plants and the like. So one of the things you're seeing here is a decrease in revenue because we've been working to divest of these systems.
Yes.
So as we divest of them, obviously there's less revenue. And in this case as well, there were some issues with collecting payments, so we may see an uptake in that revenue in 18-19. But overall, we're down to two systems that we remain responsible for. One is in New Harbor, and one is in Ramia. We'll always have the Ramia one because it would be very costly because of the type of system they need. Given we're dealing with saltwater environment and so on, it would be very costly to hand that over on a cost recovery basis, so we will always likely have that as part of the department's operations.
So, and then some of the entities where it was difficult to collect, is that being rectified, or are payments coming in? Or?
We are we're trying to rectify that, and it'll likely be a part of the conclusion of the vesting of the New Harbor system.
Okay, thank you. Municipal debt servicing. We see a variance there of a negative $726,000.
Jamie Chippett. So in this, in 3301 and the next heading, actually, in years past, before we started issuing infrastructure grants, the department would be a part of issuing loans to municipalities for infrastructure
yes.
projects. So what this basically reflects is, as we're paying down on those debts, the charges associated with them and the principal in the next line item are becoming less. I think there's around 96 communities who are involved in these two line items, and I think the year is 2023 when we're basically down to about $10,000 left on them, so it's a fairly steep decline in the next number of years, and that's why there's a reduction.
That's a good thing.
It is.
Great. Thank you. 3.304, special assistance. We see an increase in the revised amount. Can you tell us a little bit about what the grants and subsidies are for and why that a big unanticipated jump?
Sure. It's Jamie Chippett. So in terms of what special assistance is for, it's for emergency and small capital needs in municipalities. So it could be a water pump, it could be an emergency repair to a road or to a sewer pipe or what have you. In terms of the variance in this line item, so in terms of 17-18, I mentioned earlier that we usually use savings or contingency fund for relocation. So the relocation amount paid out for Snook's Arm is why you see the increase to 4.2 or 4.3 in the revised. the reason that the 18-19 estimate is lower than the original budget in 17-18 is this was the last year was the last year that there was a payment to Wabush as a grant in lieu for the closure of the Scully Mine. Mm-hmm. So you see $636,000 that come out of our budget because of that.
Thank you. Community enhancement. 17-18, we see an increase. There was $400,000 not spent. Was there a particular reason for that?
Sure. It's Jamie Chippett. So the cycle here is that sponsors apply for a project. They're provided funding for various eligible costs and mm-hmm. and to employ people to undertake the programs. And then as we get towards the last, I guess, quarter of the year, in the fall, you expect projects to conclude, and there's a final report that is due. When we get that final report, we review it to see if there are any penalties or compliance issues. We review it to see if everything that was expended was expended on what, you know, on eligible activities. So because those reports can be late coming out, and we have a holdback associated with each project, if everything is not in order, we may not get all of that funding out in a given year.
So would that be a few different projects, or is that one main?
That would
large
be
one?
A fair number of projects. Heather, any idea what the number in a year project was would be?
Are that 400,000?
Or for just generally through SEEP? No.
Okay.
It'd be a large number of projects, yeah. though.
So yeah. when you look at this, it's pretty good completion rate, though, in terms of the
we
amount
so.
Of money that's allocated. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And what kinds of projects would that cover, the community enhancement?
Heather Tizard, the projects are usually anything that enhances a community, basically. And we like to see some of the projects take place outdoors, but also have an indoor component. So you mm-hmm. might see anything from generating recreational activities and programs to some minor infrastructure repairs, maintenance, some painting repairs, upkeep. Sometimes some small tourism structures are developed in the community, pathways, community centers, all that sort of thing that keeps people employed and enhances the community they're in.
Great, thank you. 3.4.01, municipal infrastructure. And in the revised amount, we see a negative 200,000 there.
What line item? Sorry, I missed the line.
That's okay. 3.4.01 under municipal infrastructure salaries.
Mm-hmm.
01.
Jamie Chippett. So the decrease there is based on just recruitments associated with various positions.
Okay. So the positions staying vacant a little bit longer, is that it?
Yeah, basically, but, you know, majority of those positions, I'm sure, would be filled in due course.
Okay, thank you. And how many positions would that be, approximately?
Vacant?
Mm-hmm.
The number?
I know initially at the beginning there we had a number of how many.
Yeah. I think there's six of the original total would be vacancies here.
And you anticipate those being filled?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Professional services. We see a drop from budget 17-18 to budget 18-19 of
$50,000. Mm-hmm. Jamie Chippett, professional services, they are part of the funding here was for the two RFPs that the department issued to review two elements of the waste management strategy. So that's why the decrease. All that funding is not required in the upcoming year.
Thank you. And revenue from the province, we expect no revenue there, and that revenue would come from?
So the answer to that one is very similar to the previous answer. There was $100,000 provided by the Multi-Material Stewardship Board towards those two studies on the waste management strategy.
Okay, thank you. 3.4.02, under Federal Provincial Infrastructure Programs, the grants and subsidies, they were the revised amount is less $15.1 million.
Jamie Chippett. So the $101 million down to the 86 and then the 87 primarily reflects the progress of infrastructure projects. So you would have a number of things going on in that number. So as an example, we, you know, there would be projects that would be stretched out for, you know, unknown reasons. If there's an issue with site work, as an example, you encounter something you don't expect. And so that funding would be carried forward to the next year. If projects are starting, so the new projects that you're announcing, the year that you announce them in, there's a very small cash flow. And if there's a very short cash flow the year after, you're into a full construction season and the number could go up. So that's basically what you're seeing in that line item is a variance in cash flows for infrastructure.
Okay, thank you. And I would imagine that might be the same for the federal revenue line item. Would it be? Okay,
exactly.
Thank you
same.
Very much. Okay. I think I'm done there. Minister? Okay. Minister. Maybe if you speak louder.
I don't know what the procedure is, but I see the member from Mount Pearl Southlands. I don't know if you're into it, but if you want to stay around after, if you can ask questions, we'll entertain a slot for the member for Mount Pearl Southlands if you want to ask some questions, because I know you're into municipal government. So if you want to, I don't know if you're a part of this or how this works now, but if you want to stick after and have a 15-minute slot to ask on the estimates, we're more than open to allow that if you want to.
My colleagues here go twice, and then I get once.
Okay,
that's
okay.
What they've been doing, right?
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Minister. I guess, I do have some questions, to be honest. But if we're just going to do the line by line estimates, I'll just let my colleagues carry on, because the questions I had were more. You've been saying policy, right? Like I had just some questions about progress of the NEAR plan. Municipalities Act, Cities Act, the regional government, where we're moving with that, waste management, and a couple of questions about with the disasters and increasing the size of pipes and stuff like that. If we're not entertaining those type of questions, you're not, right? So I'll just let my colleagues carry on. Anybody can ask these other questions, and I can listen and write in the variances and stuff, right?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lane. Mr.
Parsons? Mr. Parsons, go ahead.
I don't know if you're going to answer it or not, but under Section 3201, I think this is where a lot of the boil order advisories and stuff like that are.
Ernie, one second.
Okay, 3-2. Section 3201, Municipal Infrastructure and Waste Management.
3201.
I'm just wondering, under this section, I know there's a lot of boil orders in the province, and I'm just wondering, where the two and where the money is to that we put into boil orders and stuff like that, and how's it working, basically?
Well, we'll explain what money we got into it, but we're not getting into the policy.
Jamie Chippett, this section, we talked earlier about the 232.5.
Yeah.
So that's in part directed to address boil water advisories. Often there's an operational component to why there is a boil water advisory. So assisting smaller municipalities that could not afford to employ an operator by granting money to have the Regional Service Board employ a regional operator, that's a component. The other place you would see budgeted along this would be later on in the water resources section of the environment part of the department.
Move back over. Okay, let's go to infrastructure, section 3403. And the first line, can just give us the variance and salaries here, please?
3403, right?
Yep. Ken Newfoundland-Castex.
I'm almost there. Jamie Chippett. So this is the administration of the federal gas tax program. And the variances there are primarily related to step increases for the individuals in that division.
Okay. Under transportation communications, I know you're going back to budgeted and estimated this year, but why is the revised? What's the variance there? Revised is 6,000.
So the 6,000 was just a result of reduced travel in that division.
Okay. What's included in the professional service line there? And why is it more this year?
So I know generally there was some shifting of funding within the line items here to better reflect their zero-based budgeting submission.
Okay.
But professional services may be for, I'm thinking it might be for auditing and those types of things.
Heather Tizard, and some work we were looking at doing with respect to some asset management work with municipalities.
Okay, and if you go to just a general question for purchase services, what other services would you need here in that line also?
Could you tell me the line item again?
The line item is purchase services, and I just want to know what's included. And there is a little small variance, but I'm just wondering why it's 3,500 revised. And
so you'd be thinking about things like equipment rental, copiers, and so on in that line item.
Okay, under grants and subsidies, why the variance in this line and what's included in it?
So this is not unlike the answer to the infrastructure cash flow variances. The difference here is that there are accountability requirements for municipalities when they submit. First thing they need to do is submit a capital investment plan. That capital investment plan is reviewed by staff for eligibility and so on. Sometimes those plans don't come in or they don't come in on time, or there are issues with them that require back and forth with the community. So that's a part of what would impact how much money goes out the door. The second piece is there are accountability requirements that were that municipalities have to meet in terms of final reports and so on. So it's really a variance based on those initiatives or those issues. Then in terms of the amount being higher again in 18-19, it's really the carryover of that funding. This is really, we're doing a flow-through function on behalf of the federal government. So we have the staff. But the revenue covers the staff, and the revenue is flowed through us to municipalities. So we always get that money in the following year because it's stipulated in the agreement that we'll get the overall allocation for the province.
Okay. Go to section 3404, just grants and subsidies. How many applications did you get last year for
I don't know that number right off the top of my head. I know that it it drastically, you know, it outpaces the budget every year. Okay. Minister, I don't know if you recall the number of fire emergency applications we had this year.
There were hundreds of applications, and also in this year includes the fire trucks itself. Yeah. And then we have like 70, 72 or something
for fire 72 trucks. For fire trucks? Yeah. How many fire trucks did we approve last year?
Seven.
Okay. Is that a reduction? That's a good reduction, though, in what we've done in the last number of years, isn't it?
Year before we did the same amount, but just 2 years prior, I think, there was an increase in funding up to $5 million to give out 20 a year or something.
Okay. All right. So the new cost-sharing ratio program, like Ms. Powell, as you know, how we discussed it before. So under this, there's still basically the same amount of applications that we're getting.
Same amount. Career. There's no decrease in the applications and in the funding.
Okay. That's all I have on the line for line items.
Ms. Rogers. Under 4.1.01, pollution prevention.
Uh-huh.
Page 1715, we see a revised reduction in 1718 of 66,000 in salaries.
And that was, or Jamie Chippett, that again was salary contingent for, there was a salary continuance for one person, but there was also vacancies that have since been filled.
Okay, thank you. Professional services, we see an increase. And what kinds of professional services would be included there, and what is the big increase expected for?
Jamie Chippett, the professional services here are primarily associated with either contaminated site assessment or cleanup. Mm-hmm. So in the instance you referenced with the increase to 518, a number of the midline radar sites in Labrador. We're working on a fairly significant intergovernmental agreement with the federal government to clean up those sites, but a prerequisite to that agreement is actually doing formal site assessments on the sites. So you see the 518 in our line item, the federal government has also committed on their own to spend another $500,000. So it's going to be about $1 million worth of assessments done, which hopefully will contribute to a very successful intergovernmental agreement.
Great, thank you. And a variance there in the revenue, the provincial revenue, and is that also related to MMSB?
Jamie Chippett, so the revenue here is related to approvals that this division would give to industry primarily, or fees for various services that the department provides. So some examples of that, if you're looking for a property search to see you're going to buy a property, you want to know whether or not there's been a spill on it or there's any environmental orders around it, there's a fee for that. For example, the refinery has a five-year certificate of approval, and then it's renegotiated at the end of the 5 years. There's a charge for that. So the reason you see the increase in 18-19 is we're just aware of some significant kind of renewals that are coming up. So we predict it'll be somewhere in the order of $263,000 that you see there.
And what would those be? In what area the renewals?
I guess the biggest example would be the refinery, and there are other services the department does as part of an intergovernmental arrangement. So, for example, we have staff who are accredited from a lab certification perspective. So as a part of our involvement in the federal provincial network, we provide laboratory inspections on behalf of the National Accreditation Group. And so I think we do them for the City of St. John's, yes. Potentially Nalcor. There's two or three big ones anyway. I think they're $20,000 each or something like that.
Thank you. And Water Resource Management, 4.2.01 under salaries. You saw an increase there of $249,000, and that's being maintained.
Jamie Chippett, so we spoke, I think, under the financial administration heading earlier, the general administration heading for the department, that we had reprofiled some funding,
yes,
from there. So, and when I referenced to maintain a position in a different part of the department, it was actually in this part of the department. And it was geared towards some of the places you'll see increased funding in these line items, primarily towards flood risk mapping. So that's part of it. And, you know, there's no vacancies here, so we've filled any vacancies that we've had as well.
Great, thank you. And under professional services, we see an increase there. Can you tell me what
sure.
you expect there? Thank you.
So there's two or three different things going on there. The biggest thing is related to $1 million for flood risk mapping for the Lower Churchill River, for Mud Lake and Lake Melville. We're working on an intergovernmental agreement with the federal government for new updated flood risk maps for a couple of significant areas in the province. And we're also working on mapping, we call it inundation mapping. Basically what it is, if a municipality has a water supply with a dam, obviously one of the pieces of due diligence you would do is ensure you understood how a failure in the dam could impact the area. So this inundation mapping is another project we're working on there. So we've managed to obtain some new funding to do those pieces of work.
Okay, thank you. And so the $1 million for flood risk mapping includes Mud Lake and a few other areas. What were the other areas?
Yeah, the other areas are still under discussion with the federal government. We've got a number of proposals with them. But on given the priority placed on Mud Lake and Lake Melville, province is proceeding to make sure that work gets done quickly.
What's the timeline expected for that?
So we expect to have it all done within this fiscal year.
Okay.
So the goal is to have it done before we get into spring and ice breakup next year.
Okay, thank you very much. And if we moved on to environmental assessment, 4.3.01. And we see a drop in salaries of $92,000.
So the drop in salaries there is, you see it went up initially because of salary continuance in the revised number. And there was also a fair amount of overtime associated with one of our environmental monitor positions. So one of the things that government stipulated with the third transmission line being built to come into the Avalon was that there be an environmental monitor in place for the part of the construction that occurred within the Bay of the Nord Wilderness Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you see it go to the 97.3. And then part of what you're seeing in the 18-19 number is a reduction in funding associated with a position that was monitoring construction of the Labrador Island Transmission Link project.
Mm-hmm.
So that project now has been completed. There's no need for that monitor right now. But when decommissioning and a few things like that happen, we'll probably put somebody back in. But that's why there's a decrease.
And were there any reports that came out of that position in the monitoring, the environmental monitoring?
There were regular reports. The person spent basically I would think, a very high percentage of their time on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So there are any number of reports and inspections and so on that were done.
And those are available in public?
I don't know if we put them out there publicly, but I don't see why we wouldn't.
Thank you. Transportation and communications, significant reduction there for the percentage there in the revised amount.
So that was just a reduced, I wasn't sure if there was a restatement like in some of the other mm-hmm. items. I didn't think there would be. So it was just a reduced amount of travel required.
Okay, thank you. Climate change, if we could move on to that, 5.1.01. And we see a reduction there of 206,000 in the salaries.
So I mentioned earlier that climate change came into the Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment in August of 2017.
Yes.
So the biggest difference in those numbers is the Assistant Deputy Minister and her administrative support position would actually be up in one of the first headings we actually discussed, which is the executive support line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that number is lower. Their salaries are moved to that other part of the department.
Okay, great. Thank you. Professional services. We see nothing estimated for this year.
Mm-hmm. So there were specific projects that were funded through last year's professional services. A couple of examples. We had our climate change projections revised. You do that every so often. We had Engineers Canada run a workshop for engineering professionals in the province to talk about and provide some training on the integration of climate change modeling projections and so on into infrastructure design. So in our zero-based budgeting, we had identified those things the year before. There's no funding there now, but we would look to fund anything specific that came up through savings in other parts of the department, but there's nothing specifically identified right now.
Mr. Penn?
Right now.
The time has expired.
Thank you. Under 4.2.01, Water Resource Management, I'm not sure if my colleague asked this or not, but purchase services line.
Purchase
fluctuation
services.
Of it's up to 825 this year from 254.
The 825.5, is that?
Yep.
Yep. So the purchase services, a couple things going on there as well. There's government announced in February that we had increased the number of monitoring sites on the Churchill River. So a portion of that funding is related to that. And then a portion of the provincial revenue is as well. Because Nalcor pays for the stations,
right.
But they are run and monitored and the data collected by our staff in Water Resources, not unlike what we do a lot with a lot of other large industrial proponents. There's some operational funding in here as well in terms of imagery that the department needs to acquire to do flood forecasting and ice monitoring for Lower Churchill. So satellite imagery, for example, from SeaCorps, not unlike what we get for Badger, and I think you'd be familiar with the model in Badger. Similarly, we need to be able to acquire that ice imagery from SeaCorps for Lower Churchill River.
Okay.
So that's the increase in that line.
So this federal revenue line there, the revenue to federal and provincials, what's included in these?
So the the federal $490,000 reference there.
Yeah.
That's the anticipated funding for cost sharing, flood risk mapping in other areas. I mentioned on the Mud Lake stuff, you know, given the timelines involved and the priority on it, we're doing that one ourselves. But that's to cover half of the flood risk mapping studies and so on that we hope to do on the island.
So the provincial portion is the same for the same?
50-50 split under the National Disaster Mitigation Program.
Okay. 4.2.02. Transportation communication, not a big decrease, but is there any reason why? Look, it's a
So the water quality agreement is what we call a programmed budget area.
Right.
And so basically there's been money moved around in several areas here to line up with the zero-based budget submission for this group. So you can imagine if you're measuring water quality, supplies it varies from year to year. You might buy a new piece of equipment one year. From a testing perspective, a higher quality probe the following year, you wouldn't need to buy it. So it's basically money moved around within that line item.
Okay. And what about the revenue, the federal provincial revenues here as well?
So the provincial revenue is primarily driven, federal revenue. So water quality is managed or monitored, rather, not only by the department in drinking water supplies, but in a subset of lakes and ponds in the province. So the ambient water quality in those are measured. So the federal government is also interested in that data, so they cost share that monitoring with us. In terms of the revenue from a provincial perspective, it's really 35 stations that we have in various areas of the province to monitor industry. So some examples: Deer Lake Power, Long Harbor, Tata Steel, any mining project really. So this is where, again, we operate and monitor, but they have certain commitments, including financial. So that's the provincial money that comes into the province.
Okay. Purchase services. What purchase services would you? What would be included in purchase services? This division.
So purchase services. I'll just give you some examples from our zero-based budgeting. Lab analysis. I should have known that. What I would have to look. The lab analysis piece of it. So if you're collecting samples in certain areas or whatever, there are fees in terms of having those samples analyzed at a lab. So that's the majority. There may be rentals in terms of storage units or boat rentals in a certain area. So basically your general areas. I would note there's a training and development component as well. Obviously staff are working around water and sometimes fast-moving water, so there's a component there of training as well.
Okay. Under 5.1.02. This is a new section, of course. What are the revenue lines? What is the... It's that full, I suppose, really, the grants and subsidies and the revenue, the federal revenue and the, what's this, you have some details on that?
Sure. So as a part of the Pan-Canadian Framework on Climate Change, the federal government released a low-carbon economy, the details of the low-carbon economy fund. So there's a base plus per capita allocation for every province. In Newfoundland and Labrador, that allocation is $44.7 million. So what this is in salaries, I'll just run down through the each line item. In salaries, the $300,000 is the percent that we use from that funding to administer the fund. When you include the provincial matching portion over 4 years, it's nearly $90 million. So the reason these numbers aren't of that scope is because it's the first year of cash flows. So we're working right now to finalize the agreement with the federal government, and we've got numerous proposals with them that would target various segments of the population or the economy to assist with transitioning to a lower carbon economy.
The grants and subsidies, what would they be, and who would receive those?
Without the proposals approved, I'm hesitant to speak to the specifics. I'm just thinking about the proposal. It could be individuals, could be companies, and the kinds of things that we've been talking about include energy efficiency, obviously, not only from a homeowner perspective, from a transportation industry perspective. So numerous different segments of the population would benefit.
In 5.1.01, climate change, and forgive me if I missed it because I was running out, my colleague was asking, grants and subsidies, there's a big increase of $1 million. What's the reason for that?
So this is a program that was announced in October. This is the Energy Efficiency Loan Program. So this is where people can go to look at energy efficiency upgrades. The primary, I think, interest is around heat pumps and so on. And it was launched in October, which was a little bit beyond normal construction season when people are doing renovations and so on. So the uptake was lower than we expected, and you can see the $225,000 that was spent. But we've got the full year now, and there was an increase of $1 million in the budget.
And this will be a year-over-year thing, or that decided each?
I think it's... how long does the 1.5 continue for, Gerald? So this year and next year is the time frame so far.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Rogers.
If we go back then to climate change 5.1.02, when do you see that up and running?
Sometime this fiscal year. Mm-hmm. In terms of the steps we'd have to take, number one is sign the agreement. We've got some basic program design done in terms of, the segments of the population we want to target, generally how it would assist in reducing greenhouse gases and so on. But we would have to do the detailed program design, logistics around application processes and so on. So that's the work that remains to be done. But certainly our goal is to get to the point where obviously spending some of that money in this fiscal year.
Thank you. And for the Climate Change Action Plan, can we get an update on the work that's being done there? And
sure. So the department's been through a significant interdepartmental consultation process because obviously there will be commitments that pertain to different areas of operation for government, but also a very significant consultation process with industry. So we anticipate the release of that plan in the fairly near future.
And that will also include the province's approach to a carbon tax and what we're going to do as a province in that area?
Minister?
Once again, this policy going through the budget items here.
Thank you. I have no further questions. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for answering the questions we were able to ask, and we appreciate that. Thank you for your time. Mr. Patton?
Yeah, same here. I just want to thank you for your the answers and the staff and for your time. Thank you very much.
Okay, since there are no further questions, I now ask the clerk to recall 1.1.01.
1.01 to 5.1.02, inclusive.
Shall 1.1.01 to 5.1.02, inclusive, carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. Shall the total carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment carried without amendment? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against? Carried. So we have minutes from the last meeting that we need to pass. And I call for a motion to approve the minutes from the April 17th meeting. Mr. War? All those in favor? All those against? Carried. The next meeting for the Social Services Committee will be on April the 25th, the evening of April 25th. I now ask for a motion to adjourn. Mr. King, thank you. Thank you so much.